Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. WAPO, that's the Washington Post journalist, laments America lost the war on misinformation last week. Really? WAPO? The bell rings in another round of the mask wars. The hydroxy hypesters, a great threat to phony Fauci and the gates of hell. More video released on the George Floyd arrest gives the rest of the story, which should embarrass BLM in Michigan and Nevada, have declared racism a public health crisis. Well, we are now all aware of what damage they can do with a health crisis. Lord have mercy, they get another one. Antifa taking over Portland and moving on Las Vegas and expanding their activity into their neighborhoods. Summerlin, Nevada fights back. The FBI storm a Ukrainian-based bank, closing in on Biden-Hunter fraud collusion scandal thingy. Oh, and did Biden really say blacks all think alike, while Hispanics are very diverse? Mercy. And where were you when the ammonia atomic bomb went off in Beirut? Well, I can see it's pretty good chance I'll barely have time to deal with the latest China virus dogfight and developments in the BLM Antifa attack on America. Maybe we can at least touch on the FBI moving to confiscate records from Ukrainian oligarch Igor Kolomoisky's management group offices, which seeking evidence in their investigation of allegations that the Ukrainian oligarch with ties to Burisma and therefore to Biden-Hunter, was laundering millions of diverted IMF, that's International Monetary Fund dollars, into his own pockets, perhaps siphoning some off to Biden-Hunter and all that. Well, you know, I probably won't have time for that, so I think it's of sufficient import to offer a summary. Here's the thing. Because of questionable business practices, Kolomoisky was put under a travel ban by the United States. Well, then Hunter Biden got on the payroll of the board of an affiliate, a holding company called Burisma, which holds controlling interest in several energy concerns. What a surprise. The ban was removed when Hunter got hired, and his daddy, Biden, was VP at the time. So, you know, the plot thickens, as they say in Denmark. No, wait, that saying goes something like this. Something stinks in Biden-mark, anyway. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, let's start here. The Washington Post published an article under the headline, quote, "This was the week America lost the war on misinformation," end quote. WAPO said that. Really? The first paragraph. You may have heard about the viral video featuring a group of fringe doctors spouting dangerous falsehoods about hydroxychloroquine as a COVID-19 wonder cure. And from there, the article descends into a hit piece on freedom of speech in social media. Now, I read the article. There was no effort made to address the essential claims of these medical doctors, dismissing them as being on the fringe. Well, that simply means they disagree with those doctors presently holding center stage in this debate. You know, the establishment doctors, the bureaucrats, who never point to any real studies supporting their counterclaims, but depend on the credibility of their position in their profession to really bully everyone into accepting their declarative statements that apparently they see no need to support with empirical data. Because, you see, they are the empirical data. Typical libthink today, their word is the word. This journalist, really a propagandist, offered zero scientific data to disprove the essential arguments of the seven or more doctors, medical doctors, who gathered to offer their opinions on the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin, and I'll call it HCQ plus AZ or just HCQ plus, something like that. But anyway, she gave none, but she did do a great deal of bloviating. drew some attention to one of the doctors presented on the video, a Dr. Stella Emanuel. So she didn't answer any of the claims made for hydroxychloroquine, but she did zero in on some of the bizarre theories that it is alleged one of the more vocal doctors in that group, and that's Dr. Stella Emanuel. It is alleged that she claims gynecological problems like cysts and endometriosis are, in fact, caused by people having sex in their dreams with demons and witches, end quote. Okay, that's weird. And the idea that alien DNA is being used in medical treatments. Wow, if it was available, I suppose. And then the theory that Bill Gates is cooking up a vaccine that is going to cure religious people from an abnormality that they have discovered in the brain that makes them susceptible to religious beliefs. Now, the latter is a conspiracy that has been kicked around for a few years, but the other one is just weird spiritualist distortions of biblical truth. I wondered if Dr. Emanuel actually subscribed to these notions, so I wrote to her and asked her to answer these things. When I checked her website, firepowerministries.com, I did not find any of these things, but, and of course, she might have scrubbed her site since this firestorm began. So I'm waiting to hear from her. In all honesty, however, I was uncomfortable with her presentation in that video. None of the others bothered me, but actually she did. It seemed off to me. And for that reason, by the way, I did look very closely at these doctors, and I saw some of that stuff about her early. But what convinced me of the legitimacy of the group's position on HCQ plus AZ as a preventative or prophylactic and an early treatment for the China virus was the white paper written by Dr. Simone Gold and the references that she provided in that document that I ran down, verified every one of them, and then the corroborating studies that I dug up, all of which, by the way, I have attached to this week's Brain Massage notes for those who download the documentation for these shows. Here, and here, and here, and here, and here. I'm referring to documents in my notes. And by the way, a note on why it's important to communicate with me on your use of my materials. I always have documentation supporting any fact claim I make on my show. Usually, I include references to those documents in my footnotes in my show notes. If you download my notes and references are not there, you need to call me. Use 1-805-314-2114 or email me. Go to godswar2020.com because it simply means I just didn't have time for that particular episode. Now, I'm working on a way to upload my entire folder of documentation for each show, but I've run into complications getting that done. I'm limited in my knowledge of how to do this sort of stuff, so if you happen to be a web wizard and you want to make a contribution to my effort, then contact me and we'll talk. Anyway, as I said, I read some of these accounts when doing my research in the background of these doctors, but I didn't have time to run it down, and I don't like going forward with stuff until I'm comfortable it's legit. I mean, you know, reptilian aliens in Congress? Well, that's actually not too hard to believe. But contracting a social disease in a dream? Last week, I did my show on the question, why are the MSM and the left generally so obsessed with stopping anyone from even hearing about hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin as a helpful preventative and treatment for the China virus? Well, here it is again, an article from WAPO with the title, "This Was the Week America Lost the War with Information." Kind of like, this was the week truth died. The propagandist. And I say that because the writer is a propagandist, offering unfounded assertions, using character assassination, while not addressing the point the person was making, extreme language, a clear political bias, assumptions, such as, you know, the president knows exactly what he's doing. Well, I think that this writer knows exactly what she's doing. You know, this Chinese bot propagandist. And I'll explain that too, by the way. So hold on. Alleging that she has knowledge of Trump's motives, that he's purposely trying to mess with reality and sow as much confusion as possible. And so right here is a good place to remind you of the rule that whatever the left is accusing, they are doing. And then no science. None, not one shred of proof is offered for any of this. This article betrays all of the features of propaganda and none of the features of investigative journalism, including the obvious intention of hyping the medical establishment message that anyone recommending HCQ plus AZ is dangerous, and then using overstatement to cover their lie by saying these doctors represent HCQ plus AZ as a COVID-19 wonder cure. Well, the fact is these doctors recommended it as an early treatment and as a perfectly harmless treatment when used appropriately. Only Emmanuel can be accused of representing it in anything like a wonder cure. She got emotional and fiery, and that's part of what I was a little uncomfortable with that. And she overstated her case from time to time. But the other seven or more doctors in that video did not. And Dr. Gold's white paper is really very professionally presented. And besides, more data is surfacing supporting their thesis, which, simply put, is this: HCQ plus AZ is a standardized treatment that has been in common use in medical practice for decades. And it is known by all to be perfectly safe. I mean, even aspirin, if overused, will give you ulcers. Anyway, Dr. Fauci's organization examined HCQ during the SARS-1 pandemic and found that it was helpful in treatment for SARS-1. So phony Fauci now, you know, even though he knows about this treatment, and the obvious thing for him to do would be to encourage some trial use of this perfectly safe regimen, which is consistently found to be very helpful when it's used early. Lots of doctors have used it successfully as an early treatment for the current SARS-2. So why does Fauci buy in to what he knows is a lie? And that is that using this as a treatment is dangerous. You probably have noticed he hasn't actually said that. You got to listen to him very carefully. He's a real slithery little serpent. Now add this. Another study has come out that has got to be throwing some egg in the face of Fauci. And Gates, by the way, because it certainly has all who have an agenda served by prolonging the epidemic, by prolonging the terror of this pandemic. You know, the MSM is a news terrorist organization. Yeah. And Fauci and Gates are to be blamed for terrorist activity. Well, not the kind you might think of, but I'll explain why as I proceed here. Okay, here's a document that shows 68 studies done on the efficacy of early use of HCQ to treat the China virus. It's a study of how the countries fared that rejected early use of HCQ plus AZ and those that embraced it and encouraged its use. The countries represented in the study include something like 2 billion people, and actually more, 2.5 billion people. It was published yesterday, August 6. I produced the show on Friday, by the way, and I read through all the summary statements of the studies and noticed something. In every study that involved a significant number of cases and where the treatment was administered early, that is, at the outset of symptoms or before the patient became so sick they needed to be hospitalized, the results were ranked positive. That means it worked. Where the results were inconclusive or negative, consistently, one of two things were true. The treatment was administered late, after the patient had already developed symptoms requiring hospitalization, something you'll find very important in a moment. In fact, I'll just tell you right now, you know, some of these people were being sent home because they weren't quite sick enough to be hospitalized. They were just sent home and told to wait until they got sick enough, then come back, that kind of thing. Of course, we would believe it was hope they wouldn't get any more sick, but they should have been given HCQ and AZ. Anyway, in those studies, it was consistently found negative. That is, it didn't work. Or the other thing that I found to be consistent is that the test was actually insufficient to support any firm conclusion, and so it was marked inconclusive. There were also trials done where the dosage was beyond the CDC recommendations, and these returned a negative result. Well, duh, and any real scientist would know better. But even in this array of studies, the positives won the day. In other words, the claim is that HCQAZ works as an early treatment. The countries that prohibited or strongly discouraged the use of HCQAZ are Mexico, UK, USA, Sweden, Ireland, France, Netherlands, and Canada. Together, these countries represent a population of in excess of 662 million people, and they experience an average of 683.5 deaths per million in population. Now, the countries that encourage use of HCQAZ are Costa Rica, Israel, India, Russia, Turkey, Algeria, Indonesia, Morocco, Ukraine, Greece, and Cuba. And this group represents a population of 2 billion, with an average of 143 deaths per million. What? Yeah. The countries that encourage use of HCQAZ as an early treatment protocol for the China virus experienced 79% lower death rate than we did. 79%, folks. Now, we have a recorded 150,000 deaths in America from COVID. Could have been 79% lower, which means it could have been 31,500 for whom the bell tolled, and each of those when the bell tolled, it tolled for thee. But that's lower than the number of deaths we experience every year from the common flu. And that does not even take into consideration the number of motorcycle accident deaths that were counted as COVID. Har har. And that isn't funny. It's happened. Now, I don't know if this study adjusted for the Texas health, and Florida too, by the way, that had to correct their COVID death count. In Texas recently, they had to remove 200 that were mistakenly attributed to COVID. Hey, you know what I'm saying here. There is something very, very wrong. Hold on to the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
God's War. Why Christians should rule the world. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation. Because Jesus is the King, and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. Your brain masseur in Paul Revere's Land and Letter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Following up on the article I mentioned in the last segment, titled, "This Was the Week America Lost the War on Misinformation," Margaret Sullivan, on July 30, posted this latest propaganda piece, pretending to be journalism. My friend WAPO has a long relationship with disseminating misinformation. This paper engaged in disseminating Alinsky's propaganda. You do remember him, right? He's the guy that wrote Rules for Radicals, a book dedicated to Lucifer. In 1946, WAPO played propaganda footsie with British diplomat communist spy Donald McLean. In the 50s, WAPO coined the term McCarthyism, smearing him for his efforts to investigate Soviet espionage in America, who was later proved to be right, by the way. This newspaper led the charge in Watergate, but was MIA in Spygate. It has been called by conservatives Pravda on the Potomac. Pravda is the propaganda state-controlled paper of communist Russia. This paper beats the drum for the globalist agenda consistently. It began its fact-checker feature, which was bought and paid for by Google News Initiative and YouTube, and we all know how balanced they are. Endorsed Obama in 08 and his re-election in 12 and the Democrats in 9 elections. The papers never endorsed a Republican for president, and the only Republicans it ever did endorse were rhinos. Of course, WAPO was with her, endorsed Hillary Clinton and hates Trump, And now this latest liberal propaganda piece continues the attack on one of America's greatest presidents. And to show how good they are at discerning the good guys from the bad guys, WAPO really liked Mary and Barry. So, enough said. But the most interesting bit of history relative to this recent article is this. WAPO is famous for their publication of Jimmy's World in 1980. It was a Sunday feature story that appeared on the front page of the Post. It was a profile piece written by WAPO writer Janet Cook about the life of an 8-year-old heroin addict, supposed to be an expose of the sickness of the capitalist society. Even though some within the Post raised doubts about the veracity of the story, the editors at the Post defended it, and managing editor Bob Woodward submitted it to the Pulitzer Prize Board at Columbia University for consideration, and Cook won the Pulitzer Prize for feature writing. But subsequently, as you probably know, the story was discovered to be fake, a complete fabrication, and the Pulitzer Prize was returned. This is the news organization that thinks America lost its war on misinformation just last week? Ha! WAPO got in trouble for trying to sell access to WAPO journalists a little while back, a major ethics violation. In 2011, the WAPO was purchased by China. You know what I mean by that is that the Washington Post began to include China Watch, advertising supplements provided by China Daily, an English language newspaper owned by the publicity department of the Communist Party of China, run from 4 to 8 pages monthly. And according to a 2018 report by The Guardian, China Watch uses a didactic old school approach to propaganda. Did I say WAPO is a propaganda organ for the Chinese Communist Party? Freedom House, in an article titled Beijing's Global Megaphone, criticized the Post and others for distributing China Watch. 35 members of the House, all Republicans, complained to the DOJ in February 2020 about this problem and called for an investigation of potential FARA, Foreign Agents Registration Act, violations by China Daily. One article that stirred concern was titled, Education Flaws Linked to Hong Kong Unrest. Oh, really? So those people who are not happy with communism coming in and taking away their liberties have an education problem. And that was pointed to as an example of articles serving to cover China's atrocities, including their crackdown in Hong Kong. And in the misinformation department, this cannot be forgot. In 2019, Covington Catholic High School student Nick Sandman filed a defamation lawsuit against the Post for its wicked smear attack on that young man, that kid. The Post settled, and the amount has not been disclosed, but because they finally yielded. They could not offer any justification for reporting that Nick Sandman blocked Nathan Phillips. That's the older Indian dude that was beating the drum in his face trying to intimidate Nick. And they tried to make it out that Nick would not allow him to retreat. And that was a complete lie, intended to create the impression that Nick was the aggressor in the confrontation, when the reverse was true. Iran's propagandist Muhammad Ali al-Houthi was given print time in the WAPO, and he's an anti-Western, anti-Semitic. So in the interest of full disclosure, you should know that the Washington Post lost its war with misinformation many years ago. But this latest fake news attack on Trump and truth is going down. America has not yet begun to fight the war against misinformation. America is only beginning to wake up to what organizations like WAPO have been doing to misinform and for decades now, and a major correction's coming. The silent majority spends its time with its head down and hands to the grindstone, grinding out a living and caring for their families and attending to their faith. They're loath to be dragged into this dirty business of politics. Who can blame them? But push hard enough, and you will awake the sleeping giant. Awake America. Here's the sort of thing that can wake her up. In the last segment, I showed that as many as 100,000 Americans would very likely be alive today if they'd been allowed to receive HCQAZ in the early stages of their China virus symptoms. That's a lot of blood on the hands of Fauci and his brigade. You can't blame Trump for that. He mentioned HCQ as a viable and hopeful treatment very early on, but you liberals bashed him mercilessly. Rags like the Washington Post, guilty of journalistic malpractice that has resulted in the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans. The Disaster Distress Helpline reported 891% increase in calls for help when compared with March 2019. 891%, folks. Suicides have skyrocketed. Deaths from drug overdose, domestic violence off the charts, child abuse, the devils in the FBI that pretend to be little girls trolling for some perverts have experienced a significant uptick in their catches. Homicides are up 24% overall. Chicago hit their highest homicide rate in history this July. Atlanta reported a 240% increase in people killing people, up 277%. Interestingly, this trend was already established before BLM and Antifa began contributing to the mayhem. How many have died because our overreaction to COVID has put off scheduled cancer screenings, treatment, even surgeries were put off? One study by the University College of London, together with the Research Hub for Cancer, estimates as many as 33,890 Americans will die needlessly because of this overreach, this overreaction to a virus that kills less than 1% of those infected with it. The fallout from loss of livelihood and businesses that have been ruined has yet to be calculated. I'm going to guess it'll reach into the billions in terms of dollars, but I don't know how to measure it in terms of mental anguish, soul torment, broken hearts, lost dreams, ruined lives. Don't let us ever ask again how it happened in Germany under their Nazis. You watching it happen right now before your eyes. Wicked, unreasonable people willing to lie outrageously, willing to suppress information, willing to callously look you in the face and say it's for your own protection while they destroy your life and prepare the chains they will use to enslave you. You know, that was the mantra in Germany, right? You know, yeah, throughout that whole bit is Ich sichere Schutz. It's for your protection. Right. The Germans have had it with this business of trading in our liberties to be protected from a virus that kills 0.01% of the population and less than 1% of those who get infected by it. 17,000, looked to me more like 30,000, took to the streets in Berlin saying, we want our freedom back. Hey, Newsom, Cuomo, Whitmer, and I forgot the other two. Hey, that's blood you can't wash off your hands. In your sinks, friends. No shower's going to wash that blood off the thousands of lives that you're responsible for destroying. You forced nursing homes to admit COVID-positive patients knowing they should have been placed in a hospital. You were told, do you not care that your actions were directly responsible for the deaths of some seniors? Thousands! Or are you being fake when you pretended that all this was about saving the most vulnerable among us? What? Especially you, Cuomo. Trump had hospital ships available and other hospital sites available that you could have used, but instead you sent them to their deaths. And you guys, all of you, support the inalienable right of protest, but deny the inalienable right of worship? Well, you crossed the line. You have arrogantly decided what rights you support and what rights are non-essential. You are cursed. God deliver us from your curse. God roll on you the misery you have so cavalierly dropped on us. May God destroy your businesses. May he make you watch your livelihood evaporate. May he show you how non-essential you are. You, Mr. Governor, are non-essential. All you've done is make the rest of us miserable. If you and all the Assembly and the Senate walked away from your meddling in our lives today, we wouldn't miss you. You're not needed. Be gone! Pelosi, you're insignificant and non-essential. Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, all of you, you're a bane, a curse upon this great state. California deserves better. Be gone. How does it feel to be told you're non-essential? How does it feel to be told you ought to close up and go home? No wonder so many have been driven to suicide. You've said to them, you're non-essential. Happily, Christians get their sense of significance from Christ, and they are impervious to your arrogant dismissal of their value and worth and the meaningfulness of their lives. Church is essential. It provides a fabric that holds society together unlike anything you understand. The truth is, we could do without government better than we could do without Christ's churches. The church is a social organism that connects people in a way you government lovers can only dream of. You can't compete with the church and you want to destroy it. I mean the true church, the one where Christ is head and the body is fitly joined together in a bond that transcends any political party. Rise up, O Church of God. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 or go to godswar2020.com. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America, too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Dr. Scheidbach is presenting a series of dynamic messages from his newest book, God's War, Sunday evenings, 5 to 6:15 p.m.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
Go to godswar2020.com.